Greetings and welcome everybody to Great American Golf. Ray Adams here with you, your caddy for the show. Oh, so many years I've said those words and happy to keep saying them every single show for Saturday, every single show for Monday Golf Lifestyle, and of course, Match Play with Ray Adams TV show all over on the Golf News Net now. The golfnewsnet.com, golfnewsnet.com. That's where these podcasts go for a day or two on their respective days, Saturday morning and Monday evening. And then they go off to all the big podcast audio platforms where you get your music and your podcast and everything you do. And it's the same with television. Match Play with Ray Adams TV goes over to Golf News Net. New show going up there very soon. It stays there a while and then it heads over to Roku and Amazon and Apple and all these other places where the television shows go. So I wanted to let you know about the golfnewsnet.com. Thank you so much for joining again. And thanks to Squares Golf Shoes. You know, Squares has been the disruptor. They've been the distance shoe. They've been the comfort shoe. They've been every imaginable style you could think of over the years. And Squares, Squairz, squares.com is where you need to be because there's so much happening there, not just with the golf shoe anymore. No, now they have the baseball shoes, they've got the pickleball shoes, and so much more to come at squares.com. Certafreshcigar.com. Thank you so very much for continuing to be a wonderful sponsor at certafreshcigar.com. And don't let me forget to say touredge.com. With the mini driver, with the putter, with everything else going on in the exotics, all the new look, all the new ways, all the new technology, there's nothing like Tour Edge on the earth. TourEdge.com. We're going to have them on with me soon, and we'll dive deeper into what's happening at TourEdge.com. All right. Well, we have an open champion. And we can't wait to talk a little bit about that because we'll do a little bit of wrap up on the Open Championship. We're going to look at schedules. We have a senior open going on, a junior am happening, and a very special guest in just a few minutes. We're going to be joined by Ed Gowan. Ed Gowan was the president of the American Golf Association for years and years, but Ed Gowan is Well, he's a renowned rules expert. And there have been those discussions that we've had recently. And along the way, we always have discussions about the rules. And I just read something this morning about the color of stakes. So we're joined this morning by Craig Renshaw, our PGA of America renowned teacher and lifelong member. And well, he's a busy guy today. He's got a lot of things going on. But we also are joined by, of course, PGA of America's Historian Emeritus, Dr. Bob Denny. Dr. Bob, calling Dr. Bob, and lots of things happening with you two gentlemen. Let me start the show off with Craig by just let's kick it off with the Open Championship. And we've got a wonderful champion in Ryan Fox and so many, this New Zealander, the only one playing on the PGA Tour, by the way, according to Ryan, is a very, very welcome champion. And for a lot of reasons, Craig, what's your take on Ryan as our champion?
Good for, I mean, he seems like he's a very down to earth people's champion, for the, the golfer of the year. It'll be interesting if it opens up things as far as can he take this to be a little more consistent challenger in a lot of events, or is this the high point of his career, which is nothing wrong with this being the high point of his career, by the way. So, it's farther than most of us get, and he's a major winner now. So he'll get invited to the Open now till, he's 55 years old, so he's got a long time to use that. So it'll be
Well,
interesting to see.
yeah, about 13, 14 years, Bob. What do you make of Ryan?
I think he's a breath of fresh air for the pace of play,
I do too.
first of all, and also he's well liked. And I'd love the opportunity to explore in either this show or future shows. how a person visualizes a shot and doesn't take an hour and a half to look it over. I think
Well,
that's important.
you've
It's
got one
important.
on there. You've got one on there with you right now with Craig Renshaw that can help us with that. And I'm certain that we can put a player on that didn't, mince a lot of time and words about it as well. We have some great future guests coming up. Speaking of guests, we'll do that. I know we're working on Angela Stanford, Solheim Cup captain. Alan Solheim has already agreed to join as well from the Ping Company. And we'll work on those guests and we'll let you know when they're coming. I've got Graham Baxter coming on, the noted, renowned golf artist. We're going to have some fun with him. And we just have a lot of things coming up, but let's keep going on with the Open Champion. When you look at the Open Championship, are you happy with how things went at Birkdale, Craig?
Yes, I thought it was a fine event. It didn't get crazy bad. It didn't get crazy good. It was a nice event. It was, as Dr. Bob said, a nice brush of fresh air with the way Ryan played and his difference as far as out to the ball. And there's it's so unusual that that was the talk of the town. I mean, so. We talk about it year after year, yet nothing ever happens. And you finally get somebody that does something different, and he actually plays at a normal speed of play, not some obscenely slow. And this makes news. It's like, okay, but nobody wants to do anything about it. So yes, I think it was a very nice event.
I love the Open Championship. I watched it in the middle of the night. I'm a traditionalist. I'm a purist. I'm a stupid. I think a golfer said, I'm a stupid. But I have for 40 years, since I was a kid, watched the Open Championship in the middle of the night. So I don't get any sleep for 4 or 5 days, and then I'm a mess. But I want to watch it when it's happening. And I'm doing the same thing with the Senior Open right now. I did it last night. I don't know that I'm going to be able to continue it on because I'm still barely catching my sleep up from, this last week, but we'll see what happens. We've got a lot of going today. But one of the big doings at Birkdale was Bryson DeChambeau. And Bob, I'm going to let you kick this off, but we're going to have a rousing discussion right now. Because even this morning early, I had an organization post about the color of the stakes on golf courses and how that messes up all of the golfers about the rules. Well, we have one of the great rules officials in the country. He was the president of the American Golf or Arizona Golf Association forever. I have known Ed Gowan for many, many long years. We've threatened each other to be on the show. And we're going to do some TV. Don't worry about that. I've got a camera ready for you. He is 8 years LPGA Tour staff, 12 years adjunct rules official with the PGA Tour. He was with the USGA, 37 US Opens, and over 100 championships. 40 international and professional and amateur championships as a rules chair. He taught the rules of golf for the USGA for 10 years, and two times he sat on the rules of golf writing the rules. I'm worn out, Ed. Welcome, everybody, Ed Gowan. And you're with Dr. Bob Denny from the PGA of America historian and Craig Renshaw, our noted PGA of American lifetime member. Instructor that comes on with us. Ed, thank you so much for joining us today and being willing and being flexible because we've done a little schedule change. But here you are and here we all are together. Ed, thank you so much.
Well, it's a pleasure. I mean, talking about golf obviously has been my life, so
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. Let's see where we go with this.
Let's just jump right into the lake of golf, right in the middle of the pond on the course. Craig, I'm going to start with you because I bet you have a question for Ed Gow. And do you know Ed? Do you guys know each other? Because Craig was here forever and then he moved to Florida. Do you know Ed, Craig?
We've crossed paths a few times, but I don't think I'm what would be remembrance enough. I don't have a face that would remember my face. So,
Okay. let's start it out because the big story, the big issue, and what started all of this mess was what happened with Bryson DeChambeau. And I'm going to let you tee this up, Bob, and then we're going to jump in. So, what happened? And let's go straight to Ed.
Very simply, Ryan Bryson DeChambeau's drive on the fifth hole in the second round, wayward right. They located the ball. He stepped into the area of high dry fescue reeds. It was noticeable on television to the naked eye that they were matted down once he finally got to the to opportunity to hit this ball, and with conviction. After he got into the scores recorder's tent, two of the most astute members of the Royal and Ancient Rules Committee followed him out there with a golf cart to hear his case and then present their findings. And as a result, as we know, the delay that left on, there weren't tee times. It was holding back people's pairings and so forth until the Rules Committee finally got it in place that he had been penalized. He had been placed in this position, and at 10:50 at night, everybody got their pairings. How's that for an opening?
Ain't that something at Birkdale? All right, we're going to go. Craig, do you want to weigh in on that at all as far as your take on what happened?
I have a take, but it's not pertinent at this time. Well, I guess it is pertinent this time. In this event, they have a rules official with each group. So why is the rules official of each group? Why is he not being used in that situation?
All right. Well, now we're going to go to Ed Gowan, the master, the rules official. Ed, what in the Sam Hill's going on around here?
Well, we could start in any number of different places and go through it. Let's start with the incident itself.
Okay.
Right now, if you look on the internet, you see one incident where Bryson stands behind the ball in the high fescue, and there's a demonstrative stomp down on high grass. There's another place, if you search on the internet, where you can see that prior to that, he also stood behind the ball and stepped on high grass. Well, there's a rule that requires the player to protect both his stance and area of swing. It's very specific in the rules. It's Rule 8.1, and there are multiple situations where players have been penalized for improving their area of swing or their stance. And in this case, in my mind, just seeing what is available on the internet, having watched it on television after the fact, after the rules people went out there, there's absolutely no question in my mind that there was a rules violation. None at
Really?
all. Because when he swings and hits the ball, there is no interference in his backswing with the fescue. And it's his job to make sure that there's no improvement of that area.
Do
We can
you?
go back on this rule and its development over the last 15 or 20 years, most clearly in 2019. And I can tell you from my own experience and from talking to the bunch of the PGA Tour officials with whom I'm still very good friends, that on a regular basis, players will say, before I get into this situation and in high grass, before I do anything, they call the official over and say, here, walk me through this, make sure I don't make any
Why
mistakes.
didn't he do that?
I don't know, but there was a statement made by one of the players, I believe it was Kisner, who said, well, that with the walking official, he should be there. I can tell you specifically that the PGA and European Tour people have told the USGA and the RNA they don't want the officials to follow the players into areas because they are afraid they might be looking for trouble. So they rely on the player to engage the official when there's a question.
Yeah, but you and I talked on the phone, and I've had this conversation over, look, this is my 26th year with this radio show. We've talked about this forever. I've even had USGA people on with me over the years, and the players don't know the rules.
They were
Ed,
very
where am I going
familiar with
wrong
the
about that?
procedure in this one, though.
But
They may
why
not
would?
know the rules, but they know enough to ask for assistance before they go
So
in.
why don't they do it?
Most of them do.
Well, why didn't Bryson?
You're asking me a question I can't answer.
So he didn't walk into those weeds thinking, I'm going to trample everything down on purpose so that I get a better swing.
Nobody's saying that.
No, you're not, and I'm not, and nobody is. And by the way, I think it should show, as most people would know by now, many, many players are coming in his support.
Well, good for them. The rule is very specific. There's no gray area here, and there shouldn't be any gray area if you see what he had done. That, in and of itself, is clearly a violation of the rules.
Okay,
And so the
so
RNA people looking at it, now the two guys who went out there with him, they would not have brought him back to the site without absolute confirmation of what happened. And there's probably a lot more video of that situation than we've been entitled to see.
okay. Now, there's been some conversation out and around and about and about and about that they had it in for him because he's a
Oh,
live player. Is that
no,
piles and
no,
piles of poop?
not possible.
Okay,
Clearly
good.
not possible.
We want to get rid of that one right now.
You know, if
Okay.
you're dealing on a local area with people that aren't expert in the rules, you might have an incident or two that are colored. When you get to this level, no. These people are black and white. It's the rules. They could care less who the player is. In fact, sometimes you ask these officials, who won that event last week? They can't tell you because they're just focused on doing their job.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, now we're going to go to Craig Renshaw. Craig, what about a follow-up on this? I looked at the videos. I did not. I saw him walking all around. I saw him tramping it down. But when he stood up to the ball, and I think this is where his support is coming from, when he took his club back and was addressing the ball, it was that dirt path behind the ball, and the reeds were behind him. So I think the controversy comes from, okay, he walked all around, and the reeds and the weeds and all that went down. But when it came time to strike the ball, it looked like he had a swing path that didn't include that. I don't know. Ed's here. Craig, let me go to you.
Well, I think Ed has answered every question, I in my opinion. You know, if the tours are telling people that they don't want the rules official there to preempt things, which is contrary to what I was always told, if there's any doubt on anything, you should always call an official because they're there to help you. That to me sounds contrary to what is, it seems why you would even have a rules official with every group then. I
Well,
mean, that's.
that's exactly why the rules official is there, to
I mean,
answer a question,
that just
not
sounds dumb
to
to me, why the
police.
tour would do that. So, I mean, I think that I agree with everything that was said. I'm not, I think we don't see everything. I think you need to be there at the time when everything gets done. I think Bryson's the way he was stomping, it looked terrible. It looks bad from his perspective. I don't know how he's got any ground to stand on, but I guess my question would be, and I agree with you, Ed, and I don't need to, but I agree with you. It looks very obvious. Why did it take this long to make a call that seems so obvious?
You know, that's the great question here, isn't there? You might remember the issue with a certain U.S. Open winner and a ball
Ernie
moving
Els
in
at
a hole.
Oakmont?
Yeah. And that took 2 hours maybe to adjudicate.
What about the
And
one with Tiger Woods where the ball rolled way back down?
I don't know
Remember
about
where he
Nick.
chipped up and the ball rolled down and they had to take a while, and then the next day they allowed him to stay in, I think, the Masters. Is that right, Bob? Have I got my history right?
Are you talking about a drop?
Yeah.
A penalty drop.
Yeah.
That's a different story, totally different story.
We're going to go there later because there's three or
Yeah.
four more questions for Ed. Okay, Ed, let's keep going with you because there are a number of players that have come out and supported Bryson. Why would they do that? Is it because they felt like that he, I don't know the question, but why would players support him if it is so cut and dry?
Well, I can't answer that.
They're
If you want
tour
me to
players.
speculate,
We have a right to hit the ball. We have a right to walk around and look at our shot. We need to be able to line it up.
okay, let me just read to you from 8.1, okay?
Lovely.
And I have my little reference book here.
You're listening to Ed Gowan. He's one of the great rules officials in the United States. He's done everything over the years. He was the president of the Arizona Golf Association forever. And we're so grateful that Ed Gowan is joining us to help us through various rules. But right now, the Bryson issue at the Open. Ed, go ahead.
Okay, this involves taking your stance and protecting your area of swing. It's called Rule 8.1. We refer to it as CATS, CATS, conditions affecting the stroke.
Oh, okay.
And it's the player's obligation to preserve that. If you go back to 1961 with Tufts' book talking about, as you might have heard, Tom Watson, recall, play the course, play the ball as it lies in the course as you find it, which means don't improve anything that could assist you. And so, what you're not permitted to do under Rule 8 is move, bend, or break any growing or attached natural object, among other things.
Ed, does that
Instructions are
include
not
a
given.
massive boulder that was in place at the Phoenix Open years ago?
Well, the rules allow that to be moved.
Okay, keep
That's a
going.
loose impediment. That's not fixed.
Keep
It's
going.
not growing. The problem here is that there was tall fescue behind the ball, potentially in his area of swing, and it's the player's responsibility to protect that area from any doubt. And
Okay.
if when he took his swing, there was no interference from any fescue. And if you look at the videos, there is one particular point where he raises his leg and stamps down on some long grass.
Yes, he
Now,
does.
was that in his area of swing? Probably. The problem is he did not make any effort to protect his area of swing. So the fact that when he makes his swing, there's no interference results in a guilty verdict.
All right, Bob.
He did not use his best efforts to protect his area of swing.
So if I'm Bryson DeChambeau, Bob, I'm going to go to you right now. If I'm Bryson DeChambeau and I'm at an Open Championship and I'm sitting there at the leaderboard, top of the leaderboard, and I could go on and win this golf tournament, and this situation comes up, the first thing I'm going to do is bring over the rules guy or gal, whoever the rules person is on my team, and say, here it is, there's the ball, there's all this grass, what do I do? Am I wrong about that, Ed? The first thing I would do is say, this is weird, I don't like it, what do I do?
Either that or you just hit the ball without touching anything.
Bob, go ahead.
By the time Bryson DeChambeau had hit the ball out and it went across the fairway, you and I could do the same thing from that position. There was
Yeah.
nothing
Yeah.
impeding his backswing.
Yep.
Yeah, because he was swinging down that dirt path.
No, he wasn't. He had wide open
Yeah.
area to swing. It was,
Yeah.
forget about the
No, I
dirt
know
path.
that. No, I
Forget
know
about
that.
the, just look at where he hit the ball and from that position where he hit the ball. There was nothing impeding his swing.
So
Am
why
I
did he
right,
walk?
Ed? Am
Why
I
did he
right, Ed?
walk? So why did he walk all around it, all over the grass? Why did he do it?
I have no idea. I have no
Ed,
idea.
is there a
Obviously, it was a
reason?
mistake to do that.
It was a mistake. Ed, would you just call this an unintended breach of the rules?
I would, yes.
Okay,
I don't.
that sums it up right there, doesn't it?
Yeah,
and that's why the players are sticking up for him. Because if you break the rules, people think of you as a cheater. But you can still break a rule and it's you didn't know that you were doing it wrong. And that's what the players are trying to say is he's not a cheater. He broke the rule though. That's what happens.
He should have
Yeah.
taken his medicine and just got out there with and just do it right away. That's all
Yeah,
he
all
should have done.
right. All right. So he cried around and he made us bunch of stupid stuff. But the next day he played and we're fine. Let's go on. As a takeoff from that, Ed, are there rules out there, newish within the last few years, couple years, whatever? And I ask you this on the phone. Are there rules out there where the player can say, I didn't mean to do that, and they don't get a penalty? Is that out there at all?
No. Meaning to do it has nothing to do with it. If you make an intentional action that results in a violation of a rule, you're going to be penalized. If it's accidental, then there are situations, for instance, when your ball's been marked and lifted on the putting green and you put it back, if you accidentally hit the ball, the Dustin Johnson ruling from the Open, as of 2019, you own the spot where your ball was. There's no penalty. Put the ball back.
Okay.
Accidental. We had an incident at the NCAAs over in California in the women's NCAA finals, where a lady from, I believe it was from either India or somewhere in Southeast Asia, took a practice swing and moved her ball on the fairway accidentally. And she said, when she was told that she had a one-stroke penalty and had to put the ball back, she objected and said, well, this happened in XYZ professional tournament. And because it was accidental, there was no penalty. Well, that was a wrong ruling. If you move your ball in play, except when it's marked or it's allowed by a rule, there is a one-stroke penalty and you put it back. If you don't put it back, you're going to get two for playing from the wrong place or under that rule. So the players' understandings of what accidental is, they need probably look at the dictionary. No intent. Intent now is part of the rules in several places, like on the putting green. Because with really fast greens, it's really hard to determine, like in Dustin Johnson's case, where the open greens might have been 13-6, whether or not dropping your club on the ground behind the ball would cause it to move. So now, once you've marked and lifted your ball and you put it back, as long as you make a stroke at, which is the intent to hit the ball, you're good. You just put it
So
back.
there are, I didn't mean to do it, my intent, there
No,
are
no, no.
those
There are no,
moments.
I didn't mean to do it.
So intent, though, is the word.
Yes.
Okay. Craig?
Yeah, that's the way I understand.
Bob?
I wish Ed was in that group with Bryson.
Well, Ed should have been
I'm
there.
quite happy I wasn't.
Well,
Because
I
I
don't know.
probably would have been going back with the guys because, you know, the way it is now, we walk along as rules officials and thankfully, I'm old enough now that I can retire. I'm retiring this year, but
Now, you're not allowed to do that until you call me, and then I will make that decision along
thanks
with
very
your
much.
kids and grandkids. We don't want you to retire, Ed.
There you go. But there have been many, many situations in events for the last, I mean, going back into the late 70s and early 80s when I was first started doing opens with the USGA, that you can't follow every player all the way around. And although we were walking with the players then, if they walked off into the weeds, we did not go in there looking for trouble. We waited for the player to either ask for help or say, wait, I did this, come look at it. And I bet I've been involved in, well over 100 incidents where the player asked for help. And there are situations, and I'll tell you about one that affected Jan Stevenson in an LPGA event.
Go ahead. We
where
know
she
Jen.
was playing the shot in a fairway and took a practice swing over her ball. She was over the ball and took a practice swing and knocked down a leaf off a branch. And when she made her full swing to hit the ball, she didn't touch anything. That's a violation. There are other times when a player can take a backswing through a bush and you see leaves fall everywhere, but when they make their swing, there's still significant interference with the swing. In that case, there's no penalty. None of that was intentional, but you just live and die with the language of the rules. If you improve your area of swing or your stance unnecessarily, it's a violation, and the players are all familiar with that rule. For
All right, I'm gonna.
Bryson to say that he shouldn't be penalized, he simply is ignoring the rule. And he does know that rule.
All right, we're gonna stop right here. I'm gonna come back in just a moment with Ed Gowan, our rules official, and so many other accolades with Ed. And I'm gonna beg him, even though he retires, to come on the show with me again in the future. And we'll have to call his grandkids, I guess, to get approval, but we'll try that. And then Dr. Bob is going to join us. Craig is going to be there. We're going to go out for a quick break. Listen to these wonderful sponsors because they help make this show bring you this kind of educational entertainment for golf on Great American Golf. I'll be right back.
Introducing the revolutionary T-Clip, a 4-in-1 magnetic tee holder, an alignment tool, a divot repair tool, and a ball marker. It's handcrafted to provide effortless access to your golf tees, all without digging in your pockets. Visit our website, theteeclip.com, to experience the difference and order yours now. Straight Line Golf brings you the club alignment system that will change the way you play golf while reducing your strokes on the course. How many times have you bought a golf fade that fell short of success? Our system is changing the way golf is played, whether novice or professional. Our patented club alignment system is a visual aid comprised of decals attached to your club shaft and can be left on the shaft while you play. This USGA permitted system will help with great repeatable shots for great alignment and swing. Visit StraightLine.golf for more details.
Legacy Golf Resort in Phoenix. Experience the thrill of our championship golf course. Dine in the full-service restaurant at the Trails End Bar and Grill. Our golf performance center is equipped with cutting-edge technology, helping you refine your game and unlock your full potential. We're not just a golf destination. We're also the perfect backdrop for your dream wedding at our gorgeous award-winning Sierra Vista venue. Whether it's a birdie on the course or the perfect I do under the desert sun, Legacy Golf Resort creates memories that last a lifetime.
Greetings and welcome back, everybody. Great American Golf here. We've got a lot of leaderboards to look at, but before we do that, we're going to go right back with Ed Gowan. And we're going to go with Dr. Bob and Mr. Craig Renshaw, our lifetime member of the PGA of America. Ed, is there a player incident that you can remember over your career that was a horrible disaster? Now, you don't have to tell us the player's name, but it was like the worst experience you could ever imagine having.
A couple of occasions. Blatant cheating.
Outright, they knew they did it.
Yep.
Oh my.
It's
Can you
very
give us
rare.
the kind of the setup, but we don't want to know the name.
No, well, a ball hit into a deep rough, brambles, bushes, and
Okay.
the player saying, "I found my ball 50 yards ahead of where everybody was looking, including her fellow competitors."
Okay.
And then spectators saying, "Wait a minute, we saw the ball that went here, going over to that area, finding the ball, same markings, no question." That's one.
In a situation like that, Ed, what kind of penalty do they get if there is blatant cheating?
Well, they're disqualified, but we never say cheating. We
Okay.
just say that the score returned is not correct and we have evidence you signed for an incorrect card. Now,
Okay.
since 2019, an incorrect card happens more often than we'd like to think. And under the current rules, as long as you adjust the score before the end of the event, you can avoid the DQ. That's one of the great things about the changes in
Yep.
2019, along with a lot of others. There, a lot of the trip wires in the rules were removed in 19, and so there are far fewer penalties on the tours or in serious amateur golf than there used to be. And that was all really good. But there are still some really hard lines like the one that Bryson crossed.
Okay.
Ed, can I ask a question?
Go.
So we were talking earlier about why it took so long to get the ruling out there and everything like that. Is the assumption when they went out to the golf course with Bryson that the rule had, that they had already determined what was happening and that they were placating him by letting him vent and show what happened and everything like that? Or is there a good
I
chance
don't.
that they hadn't made a decision yet?
Oh no, it was done.
See,
It
and
was
that's what I
prep.
mean. Then I don't know why it takes this long then. That
Well,
seems ridiculous to me.
we really don't know, Craig, what the timeline was on this. Before he signed his card in scoring, the situation would have been raised.
Why would he go?
Right.
Why would they go back out if they already knew that this was it?
Because he probably challenged them as to the truth of what they were saying.
Okay.
I would think that when happens, for instance, and let's look with PGA Tour, where the players love the officials and the officials love the players, but that still the rules are black and white. When there's a situation that comes in question, they'll do a video review and scoring and say, here's what we saw, here's what happened. Is there something we don't know about this? Because what we see would be a penalty of X, Y, and Z under these circumstances. And here is the rule in the book that governs this. Now, to end up going out on the course, the only reason you would go out on the course otherwise, other than a complete debate, which was evidently what happened, was if there was a question of fact. For instance, it was alleged by two players in a group the third player did something. Well, let's go back and look at the situation on the golf course and see if we can get more information. What is it we might have missed in a video or that the players might have w missed from 20 yards away? There are reasons you go back on the golf course, but it's to determine if there are facts that support a different answer. But he, Bryson would have been confronted with the situation in scoring. That's the process.
Okay. All right. Now, you were going to give us a second example a little bit ago about a player or a situation that was a nightmare. Can you give us the kind of the circle around that without naming names?
Oh, yeah. At an open, and you could probably figure out who and when. On the 18th hole, there was a ball lost in a tree. And at that time, you had 5 minutes to find a ball that might be lost. If you can't identify the ball, even with binoculars, that's okay. But if you can't identify your ball, the ball is lost. If you can identify a ball up in a tree with binoculars, for instance, then you can drop the ball under that point and proceed without a lost ball. This was a situation where no ball was seen. The tree was not in a situation where it could be easily climbed. And the player contended that spectators saw his ball lodge in the tree and he should be able to take an unplayable. But it couldn't be seen and it couldn't be identified. And it was a very emotional situation. And that, those are tough to deal with because the player's fighting for his rights is, and as officials, when a player wants to argue with us, that's fine. They're defending themselves. That's fine as long as they remain rational.
Yeah. Now, give us, and I know you two gentlemen want to jump in, Bob and Craig. Give us one where it stands out in your mind, Ed, that this player in this situation of a rules infraction was so gracious, was so wow, was so kind, was so accepting. And it stands out in your mind that this was a great, great moment for not only a player, but for golf and for rules.
There are thousands of them. They happen every week.
Do they really? So 99% of the players are gracious. They're good. They say, okay, and you move on.
Yeah, they might argue, but they argue from a point of fact. And once you determine the facts, there's no issue. The players, 99.9% of the time, the players are more than reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
There are, on every tour, in every situation, there are individuals that step on the line.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ever want to say anybody crosses the line intentionally, because that's a DQ and we don't want you playing anymore.
Right.
That's so, so very rare.
Are the men or the ladies on tour easier or better or differently to deal with?
Golfers are golfers.
They're all the same.
You know, this game is so hard that if you are an accomplished player, you have to have a great sense of yourself and a great sense of magnanimity. Golf is a tough game, and the people who play the game are more, less than one in a thousand a problem.
Craig?
So here's the question. You make, and you're in a, you're obviously a golfer, but you've, your life has been from a different part of a golfer as a rules official. So I want to distinguish that. So with you being a rules official and saying, and being able to say from a different perspective how hard this game is, and I know you won't know this answer, why isn't it, and maybe the USGA and RA say this to the tours, why is there not a rules official with everybody that would make a game that is so hard to make it easier on the player then?
Well, let's start with the fact the rules say the players are responsible for knowing the rules. And this is historical, that goes back 260 years. That's the first thing. The players are responsible for knowing the rules and calling penalties on themselves, unlike any other sport. And that's why the rules officials don't follow the players around.
Tradition.
We're not looking for trouble. It's a gentleman's game, a gentle ladies' game.
Yes.
And
$30 million.
That's the bottom line. We're, as rules officials, we're there to assist and answer questions, not to enforce the rules.
All right, I'm going to go to Dr. Craig, go ahead and follow up.
So in my opinion, having this great conversation today, so if you, in my mind, listening to you and you say, hey, we're going to change the rules coming up in 2027, we're getting another rules update. Somebody said to me,
though.
Craig, what?
Let's move back a year.
Okay. When are we going to, what rule would you change, Craig? It would be, get that out of the rule book then, and make changes then. Because that's the most ridiculous rule in there then. That the thought is for these professionals and amateurs that they should know all these rules. Then why do we need rules officials if that's the case? That sounds,
but they can't know them all. They can't do
that's
it.
The point. And that's what I'm saying. That's what sounds like that's the ridiculous part of the rule then.
Well, and it's not just the rules, Ed and Craig and Bob, and all you listeners. By the way, you're writing to me, golfadams@msn.com. Believe me, I'm going to get to a few of your questions. I will. Bear with me. One of the listeners want to know, how in the world and why are we still allowing fans on TV to call in rules questions, Ed? I thought
it
we were
doesn't happen
to stop.
Anymore.
Well, I was going to say, I thought we stopped all of that.
We have. Let's say you can't stop him from calling in. You stop reacting to it.
Exactly.
Right, so if I call in and I say, Bob or Mary stepped on a leaf, and what do you say about it? You just don't even answer us anymore.
Correct. You ignore it.
Bob?
There's one element of the game that's always been with us, Ed, and that is pace of play. And I can go back to the 1800s in newspapers I found in St. Andrews and found questions about pace of play. I'm not making this up. The biggest reason golf rules officials rarely assess pace of play penalties is, according to the official announcement, official policies rely on long, multi-step chain of warnings and group evaluations before any stroke penalty can legally apply. How do you react to that?
That's the tour's rule.
Okay. How do you react?
Well, let's start with this. When I first started with the LPGA back in the 70s, rounds were well in excess of 5 hours, kind of where they are today. And because at that time, getting on television was important, pace of play became important. And at a tournament in Southern California, I applied 3 two-stroke penalties to each player in the last group on 16 and 17, who were all tied for the lead at the time the first penalty was given. And then we went for about 6 months on tour, with the longest day of play being about 4 hours and 15 minutes. So, pace of play has always been an issue. The application of pace penalties is being ignored across the board.
Why?
And philosophically, I think there's an understanding amongst the elite players that they should be given enough time to make the right decision on almost every shot. You know, if it goes more than a minute and a half, 90 seconds, the USGA is now calling that excessive. We can remember PGA Tour incidents where a player went well over 3 or 4 minutes. It's a question of each organization to set its own policies, and the policies across the board differ significantly.
The LPGA Tour, Ed, recently made their decision about this, and they've enforced it a couple times. Do they have it right, or are we all still working on this with all the world tours?
There is no right now. There's no rule that governs pace other than the suggestion in the book, which is, you know, more than 40 seconds playing a stroke, and they're referring to if a person walks slowly, if there are other issues that delay play of the group behind or their own group, then there are other actions that can be taken. But it's all gray. It's all gray.
Should it be gray?
In my mind, I'm on the traditionalist side where it would be a lot less gray. I would not be reluctant to apply a one-stroke penalty. I prefer one stroke over two. One-stroke penalty to players that go over a certain time period based on the golf course. And I would do that on tour and on television. You might remember there were some events over in Europe where they had a shot clock. And there was only one person penalized, and the rest of them dealt with it. If you look at the TV show where they're hitting it into a screen and they have a shot clock, they all hit the ball and they hit some great shots. My history tells me that most players, when they can play more quickly, play better. So
What
it's
about
a
Ryan Fox? Isn't he an example, a poster player of don't get screwed up, don't think about it, don't overthink it, don't analyze it, don't tense up, don't get your arms and muscles and wrists and hands all tense and blow the shot. Just step up and hit the ball. And he said, making a decision about hitting a shot is not difficult. Ed?
Well, you know, I'd agree with that.
Do we all want to be like Ryan Fox?
No, that's too fast.
He plays too fast.
I think Ryan does something uniquely different than a lot of those players. What he does decision making is not that unique out there on tour, in my opinion. The difference is he also walks quickly. There are a ton of people that make decisions just like he does that fast, but then they stand over the ball a long time or whatever. But he, in addition to making those decisions quickly, he also walks quickly, and that's what you don't see out there on tour.
Bob?
Mm-hmm. I just really go back to what the LPGA finally did, and I think I respect what they did for fines, penalties, and I think that will wake up a lot of golfers.
I don't think they'll ever do it on the PGA Tour, though, will they, Ed? They're just not going to do that to these elite, elite, elite players.
I think if you took a survey of the players, a majority would ask for faster applications.
Okay. But
we'll
but,
see. It depends.
But will
who's
they
in
do
charge.
It? Will you say it's gray? Will they do it?
Depends who's in charge.
Two-tier system coming up. They're asking me. I'm sorry. They're writing to me now about everything with you, Ed. Two-tier system coming up. Big change in schedule. I know Craig and Bob will have a question. What do you make of it? Are we eliminating Korn Ferry? Are we creating a Korn Ferry 2? What are we doing with what's going on, in your opinion, after being out there forever?
I'm not sure with the philosophy behind what they're doing. It seems to me to be becoming more restrictive, and I think that's not in the best interest of the game, if that is the case. But I'm not in a position to judge. I don't know what's the underlying thought.
Are we going to lose some great venues and events along the way, Ed?
I think we're more likely to lose events over the cost of doing them, where clubs aren't willing to, the great clubs aren't willing to give up their space with the amount of money that's spent on major events and the impact it has on a golf course, like the other course at Wingfoot being unplayable for 6 months. Those are the kinds of things that to do a major event today requires so much infrastructure because of the financial implications, that I think we are going to see fewer of the great courses involved in the future. Although if you look at what the USGA is doing, going out 25, 30 years in advance, committing sites, like, you know, for going back to Marion, that's a logistical nightmare. But for the players, it's going to be a wonderful challenge. And that little short golf course is more than sufficient to cause some stomach aches.
All right. The players are, or the listeners are writing to me. Bob and Craig can weigh in here in a second. Is there one rule, Ed, that you're in charge and you could change it today with a stroke of the pen? What rule would you change right now?
I wouldn't change anything right now.
Okay.
I would rewrite a couple of rules to be more clear, but I think the intent of the rules as it is right now is player friendly, but confusing. And I think the rules could be stated more clearly, and I think they will be in 28. Because they're using AI to help clarity.
So for amateur golfers out there that are playing in their member or their member guest, or they're playing at a Muni on a Saturday, with their friends and family, male and female. And we know the ladies are the fastest growing segment of the golf players in the world. National Golf Foundation gives us all kinds of great numbers about munis now and on and on. What is your word to the amateur player? You're out there and you're an 18 handicapper and you're playing with friends. You want to play according to the rules of golf. You want to play it down. Is there a word you want to give all of the listeners today? Because that's where we all are. We're amateurs, we're recreational players, we're many other types of listeners to my show. But what's your word for everybody?
Oh, it's very simple. And this would include many of the tour players. Buy a rule book and read it once. It'll give you a survey of what you need to know.
Well, and the USGA surely puts them out. I get them every year at the PGA
Have
merchandise
you ever
show.
read it?
Oh yeah. Oh man, and I've highlighted it. Oh, sure I
Well,
have.
you're among the rare ones.
Well, I'm sort of in this thing up to my ears. Craig?
I have nothing to say. That's fine by me. I like everything that was said there.
Dr. Bob, question for Ed Gowan. Ed Gowan is one of the great, great rules officials in our country. Over many long years, hundreds of events and championships, and president of the Arizona Golf Association is how I knew him. And plays a lot of golf, or did play a lot of golf, and he's threatening retirement. Although I don't know what we have to do. I'm going to have a meeting somewhere because we can't let that happen. Not Ed Gowan.
Ed, my question is, if you had a chance, would you try to reduce the decision book down to a normal law journal rather than an encyclopedia?
The decision book has been reduced.
How much?
There are no decisions anymore.
No, no
It's all
decisions.
encompassed within the rules.
Okay.
And there
Okay.
is a guide where there are explanations behind each rule that point out perhaps the differences that come from the definitions the rules use, which are different from Webster's in some cases. But the decisions are all gone.
Okay.
So we're in a good place, and it's going to get better in 28.
I stand corrected. I'm glad they did that.
All
Because it
right,
used to be
final
so are
question.
we.
Final question for Ed Gowan and Craig Renshaw. Anything you want to ask Ed, here he is. We'll have him on again. I know where he is. I know how to find him. And 7,000 phone numbers in my telephone over the years, many of the greatest players in history. Some are with us, some are not. And Ed Gowan is one of the great ones there. Craig, final question for Ed Gowan.
No, I think he clarified everything great for us today. I'm very happy with what Ed said. I agree with everything. That was great.
No, it has been, and we're going to do this again because I've already got about eight more questions coming in from listeners. Bob, go to you.
I don't have any additional questions. I just want to say I'm just happy he joined us today.
Was good to be
Ed,
with you guys.
well, it's we've been privileged and honored to have you, Ed. We're going to do it again. I've got all these questions. I don't know what to do with them, but we'll figure it out, and we'll have
Send them
Ed.
to me. I'll write an answer to you, and then you can give them yourself.
No, I'm not going to
Well,
do
you
nothing.
have the book.
I've got the book. Hey, Ed, you don't know something about me. I used to be a professor of history at the university. I can do my homework if I want to, but I'd rather surround myself with geniuses and get out of their way like I do on this radio show and like we've done today, I hope, with you, Ed. Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Much pleasure.
All right, there he is, Ed Gowan. And all right, guys, let's have a quick look. We've got a junior am going on, but one Tiger Woods' son had a little bit of a problem, didn't he, Bob?
Yeah, he heard a ha camera click when he was trying to make a stroke in the playoff. It was 14 people trying for two spots in the playoff.
Okay. Well, he will not go into match play. We'll see how that goes. We'll follow that up on the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show. And Craig, I know that you're busy going on with everything happening. Bob, take us through the Senior Open leaderboard, and we would love to see what's going on. And Craig, you can weigh in on that for a moment. We're going to wind this down here in the next 5 minutes, and everybody stay on board.
At Cameron Percy is 9 under going into the weekend at Glen Eagles. Jerry Kelly 3 strokes behind,
Wow.
and they're followed at 4 under by Ernie Els and Marcus Breyer. And at way down, not way down, but 6 strokes down is Matt Gogol and Henrik Stenson at
Ernie Els
Glen
knows
Eagles.
what to do. And as I said earlier, Bob is going to work on Angela Stanford, the captain of the Solheim Cup, my great friend from many years. Alan Solheim will join us. And that's going to be coming up in an upcoming show. We're going to keep going here a little bit. What's happening at the 3M? Scottie Scheffler decided to play a little golf, Bob. And then, Craig, you can weigh in if you like.
Big news before that was Michael Kim shot a 59 with 12 birdies today,
Yeah.
and it was the 15th in PGA Tour history. He made a 24-foot birdie in the last hole to get his 59, and I just have some more nuggets, but I'll wait till later.
Well, you can give us a nugget if you have one right now, no problem.
How many people remember Australia's Peter Wilson? That was 3 years ago, in Victoria, Australia. He had back-to-back 59s in March.
Ain't that something? And no, I didn't remember that. Craig, to shoot a 59, I mean, I don't care what golf course you're on, I don't care where you're playing, who you are, or what you are. To shoot a 59 is a very, very, very big deal. And it brings me to Lynn Marriott and Pia Nielsen in Vision 54 and their vision to birdie every hole. It's almost an impossible feat, and yet now 15 people have done it, Craig.
Well, I can tell you, I've shot 59 every time I've played. I don't think it's that great of an accomplishment personally,
Okay.
but you know,
Well, I know.
I just don't stop at 59. So I mean, that's the difference. Most of us all shoot 59 when we play 18 holes of golf.
Okay. So 15 stopped at 59 on the 18th hole. You shot a 59, but you kept going like I
I had
did.
another. I have many holes still to play
You
sometimes.
still had a few holes to go. Ain't
Yep.
that something? I love it. You guys are hysterical. What am I going to do with you? All right. What's the schedules coming up? How are the ladies doing, Craig or Dr. Bob?
Well, they're over at Ayrshire, Scotland, at the Women's Scottish Open, and
Scotland.
Jenny Shin, 10 under par heading into the weekend. Esther Henselite, 4 strokes back, and only one American in the top six, and that's Lauren Coughlin at 4 under par.
Uh-oh, I've got a question that came in for Ed Gowan. And Ed, are you still with me here?
Still here.
All right, I've got one that came in, and they want to know, we're going to take another minute. What is the problem with knowing about golf stakes and the colors? Why is that a big issue for players? They want to know about the golf stakes and the colors, and if you know what they mean, you can make a decision. And that came out in a post this morning that I did see. And now I've got listeners that want me to have you respond to that. There's different stake colors, and the decision that you make when you get into these stakes on a golf course can make a big difference in your game. Is that a legitimate question?
Boy, I was hoping that would be a given for any golfer.
Well, you've got
White's
a
out of
white stake
bounds.
and a red stake. Go ahead. I'll let you
White's out
finish.
of bounds. Yellow is a penalty area you have to drop behind or re-tee. And red, you get an extra relief for a penalty area.
At
Very simple.
what point do you hit your driver off the tee or any club off the tee? It goes way off to the left or right. When do you know that you have to re-tee right then as a provisional?
Well, if you see it goes out of bounds, you know you have to re-tee.
So you see the white stakes, you know it's OB, and you've got to re-tee.
Right.
Do you hit a provisional if you're not sure?
Yes.
Good.
Anytime, half of 1%, you're unsure where the ball is, you can play a provisional.
Very good. All right, there he is, Ed Gowden. Thank you. Gentlemen, thank you so much for today. What a great show. What a wonderful amount of information, education, maybe a little entertainment for everybody. Thanks for joining Great American Golf, Dr. Bob Denny. I'm going to give you the final word, 15 seconds.
Now, the final word, I think, goes back to patience and patience and understanding where we are when you just step on a golf course. It is the challenge against the golf course, as Scotty would say, not against other players. It's the golf course.
Craig, final word. Is Craig, Craig may have gone on to teach. He may have left us to go teach. Very good. Well, Ed Gowan, final word. What's your word for everybody?
Read
The
a
folk
rule book.
read the dadgum. Will you get the rule book out and read it? And like me, will you highlight it and will you write out your questions? Send them to me at golfadams@msn.com. I'll get them over to Ed. We'll have Ed back on in the future. And I can't wait for another big rules scandal. And we'll have Ed on and we'll do that. Ed, enjoy your day. Thank you so much for joining today.
Yeah, have a great weekend.
You're the best, buddy. You are the best. Bob, thank you so much. And I want to thank all the other great sponsors for being with me today. I've mentioned Ashworth Golf Clothes, haven't I? Well, yes, of course I wear their clothes. And if you wear Ashworth Golf Clothes, you are wearing a piece of golf history. You're part of it. Ashworth-golf.com and Ashworth Golf. And then, of course, I've mentioned the Water Weasel, haven't I? Waterweaselretriever.com. You've got to get a Water Weasel Retriever.com. I'm going to get that out. Don't worry. And then one of my favorite people out there is Elisa Villarreal. And Elisa is my broker, my selected broker from Rocky Point, Mexico. You want to go to welcome to rockypoint.com. Welcome to rockypoint.com. There are so many others. I want to thank Homeland Brew Company at Homeland Brew Co. Homeland Brew Company right here in Anthem, Arizona. They're over on the west side of the I-17 freeway. They are a craft tap room, a bottle shop. They've got the food trucks. They've got a place for the kids to play inside. It's all family at Homeland Brew Co. .com. Homeland Brew Co. dot com. And then don't forget Dennis and Lisa Jones, my goodness, award-winning realtors. They're the best of the best. You want to go to dljoneshomes.com, dljoneshomes.com. Am I going to talk about North Valley Water? Am I going to talk about North Valley Card Care? Am I going to talk about the wonderful Full Legend restaurant? Yes, I'm going to talk all about those on the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show, along with my favorite golf courses, my sponsoring golf courses as well, all coming up on Monday on the Golf Lifestyle Show. Have a great weekend. Enjoy all of your golf and get out and practice a little. And don't forget, get that sunscreen on you. I had to go to my dermatologist yesterday. My gosh, they took a couple divots out of me again. It happens, especially as you age and you're in the sun. And it doesn't matter your skin type. None of that matters. Just make sure you wear your sunscreen. Get to your dermatologist, whether you think it or not, and hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. With not only water, but an electrolyte that makes sense for you. We're going to have more about all of that on the show as I bring on physicians and experts and continue with you right here on Great American Golf.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jack Nicklaus agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Time when you buy and book online at DiscountTire.com. Did you know that Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Stop by for a free air check or tire inspection and ask an associate about wiper blades today. And remember, if ever you're not satisfied with one of our tires, please feel free to bring it back. Thank you. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.